So we are going to continue with beautiful message. I apologize for anyone who was here this morning, but I dismissed everyone to lunch and it was only 9:30. I'm on my holding time. I don't know. I just follow. When people go to the dining hall, I go. So we will leave to go to dinner after this, though, right? Okay, good. I'll get my time. Good. Well, welcome. Again, we are going to be redeeming some stories of women. Today we're going to be looking at the hemorrhaging woman, which is in all three of the synoptics, and also looking at another woman, a contemporary woman of this last century, who has a story that often is not told, and we'll be looking at Henrietta Lacks and her story. So we'll be doing a mashup of these two strong, fierce women. So, welcome. We'll let the Spirit lead.
And I invite you to rise if you are able. So this is the doxology, but it's to a different tune that you might be used to. We'll just sing it through one time, and then I'll have you join me in the melody, and then we'll do a round. So this melody goes, praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise God from all creatures here below. Praise God above the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise God, all creatures here below. Praise God above the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Nice, I think you got it. So, see the numbers up there? 1, 2, 3. That's where the different rounds are going to start. And so we'll be in three sections. So have this side from that pole, you are one. All the middle here, pole to pole, are two. And then you are three. And what I'll do is I'll point you in when it's your turn. And then we'll just kind of keep going until we cut each section off, and it will sound really great. Okay, so we'll start all together, and then we'll start the round. So we'll all do one round together, and then wait your turn to come in, okay? All right.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise God, all creatures here below. Praise God above the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Praise God from whom all
after they're done reading, we're going to have just a bell, a little quiet, and a little steady, and then we'll head into
Matthew 5:18-26. While he was saying these things to them, suddenly a leader of the synagogue came in and knelt before him, saying, "My daughter has just died, but come and lay your hand on her and she will live." And Jesus got up and followed him with his disciples. Then suddenly a woman who had been suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years came up behind him and touched the fringe of his cloak. For she said to herself, "If I only touch his cloak, I will be made well." Jesus turned and seeing her, he said, "Take heart, daughter, your faith has made you well." And instantly the woman was made well. When Jesus came to the leader's house and saw the flute players and the crowd making a commotion, he said, "Go away, for the girl is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him. But when the crowd had been put outside, he went in and took her by the hand, and the girl got up. And the report of this spread throughout that district.
To boldly walk into a discussion about blood and defilement and shame and broken bodies. Christian theology has struggled with all things feminine. And there have been parts even in our culture and our world that are still struggling today. I could just quickly ask for a few examples. Perhaps maybe even Megyn Kelly, who was accused by someone who was running for office that she had blood coming out of her whatever. Or Elizabeth Warren within this last week, who was told to sit down and not continue to speaking in a cabinet discussion. Or Sojourner Truth, over a century ago, at the women's convention in Seneca, standing up and saying, "Ain't I a woman?" Because all the white women were talking about their freedom, their right to vote. And she was standing there saying, "But no one is helping me get out of my carriage." Women have been struggling to have a voice, to have a place, and to have their full bodies recognized. And that is not only within culture, but also even within the life of the church. Menstruation, discharge, breastfeeding, those are all things that many people just never really want to talk about. The female body is often referred to as an inferior existence. So Tertullian, he was the father of Latin Christianity. He wrote, "Woman is the temple built over a sewer." Thank you very much. Or St. Augustine, "What is the difference whether it is a wife or a mother? It is still Eve, the temptress that we must beware of in any woman. I fail to see what use women can be to man if only excludes the function of bearing children." Bonaventure believed that since women were sunk in wretchedness, Christ might have been born of a woman to indicate the extent of his charity. Thomas Aquinas, echoing the Aristotelian kind of understanding of women, that they were defective men, wrote in the Summa Theologica, "Because the male excels the female sex, Christ assumed a man's nature," adding, "So that people should not think little of the female sex, it was fitting that Jesus should take on human flesh of a woman." And Luther, "The word and works of God is quite clear, that women were made either to be wives or prostitutes." Thank you, Luther. There have been, over the centuries, glimmers of awakening, the sacredness of the female and male body. And actually it was in the medieval times that actually there was an understanding that we didn't have to be binary in understanding of sexuality. So, and I might mess up his name, Bernard Clavé, a male mystic,
understood himself in female images when he wrote. He said the bride of Christ, the mother, he was the mother of monks. And he could easily identify himself as female without compromising his masculinity. I found that refreshing as well. And this is from Janet Soskis, has read a wonderful, wonderful book called The Kindness of God. And I draw from her often in my ability to remain Christian. but she writes this. She says, so many of the devotions, so Catherine Siena is sometimes represented nursing at Christ's breast, sometimes as feeding at his side, blood and milk interchangeable. And then she said, of the medievalists, we are now aware that the body of Christ was sometimes depicted as female in medieval devotional texts. Partly, of course, because ecclesia, Christ's body, was a female personification, partly because the tender, nurturing aspect of God's care for souls was regularly described as motherly. Both male and female mystics called Jesus mother. In the Eucharistic feeding of Christians, with liquid exuded from his breast, and in his feeding, bleeding from the cross, which gave birth to our hope of eternal life. And so, and continuing on with, and so I find that these are things that we have lost. We've lost these beautiful images that move beyond even gender, but actually even lift up the feminine. And then one last thing, the assumption associated with female and flesh, with body of God, not only was Christ enfleshed with flesh from a woman, from his own flesh, he did womanly things. He bled food, and it gave life to new birth. But this same nexus of imagery, blood, death, birth, food, milk, it can be found even much earlier from John Chrysostom, who draws upon this. So blood and death and birth and food and milk, these primal aspects of life and faith and sexuality and sensuality and spirituality. And somehow we have often created these little silos, and we've not allowed them to fully flow through our own spirituality or our theology. So today, with the hemorrhaging woman, we are going to redeem her story and look at it with new eyes. So, let me make sure I'm here. From the story, tell me about a woman who has been hemorrhaging for 12 years. What do you know of a woman who might be hemorrhaging for 12 years?
Exhausted.
Exhausted. Pale. Jaundice.
Yeah. No energy.
Fatigued. Yeah.
Not accepted by the rest of her. She's been separated that.
Absolutely.
Had to be
separated.
Constantly unclean.
Yes. In Leviticus, and on the top of the sheet, it lifts up one of the many Levitican laws about women and discharge. For a woman, you had to be 7 days clean before you could re-engage with the community. You were considered nidah, I believe. And I have that, I've got a whole explanation here. But for a woman, they were not to be touched, consoled, by their husbands. They often lived completely apart, which I was like, hey, that's bad. they would be excused of their household duties at times from this. But it was the thought that they would have time to recuperate their bodies. But if they had any discharge at all, even a spot of blood, they would be unclean for 7 days. They count 7 days. If they had a male child, they would wait 40 days and 80 days if they had a female child. And so if a woman has been bleeding this whole time, she is in a perpetual nidah. She is perpetually not able to engage or even be touched. Which I can't imagine life not being consoled by someone or a family member. But they would, so she was in this perpetual space of being set apart. So I want to kind of play with this. Where is the greatest healing in this story? So just take a moment and think about, where is Where is the healing that takes place?
The acknowledgement of faith.
Mm-hmm.
Your faith has made you whole. The acknowledgement that she had faith.
Yes, so the acknowledgement of faith.
What else?
She only touched his garment.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't need to be acknowledged other than.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. But she knew Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Healing that feeling of disconnection, really healing of connection.
Yeah. Preachers often go to talking about her faith, or they talk about Jesus really didn't care much about purity laws, so he just thought those were nonsense. That's where pastors usually go. Soskus, she actually talks about Jesus redeeming her and bringing her back to life. That this is actually a resurrection story. A resurrection story because she's actually dying. I recently went through a time of anemia, and I was about 7, I'm supposed to have 12 to 13 levels of hemoglobin, and I could barely get out of bed. I would take a shower and then sit down. And it turns out...
Because we don't ever talk about it.
No, we don't. But I was barely making it to work and anything. And finally, when my doctor had me go to my OBGYN, they probed me, I did the endoscopy, the colonoscopy, I did all of the things, kind of found out it's not my fibroids, it was just I had too much of a flow. They put an IUD in me, and I remember as my eye, well, she was with me, and I just kept saying, thank you, thank you, thank you, for modern medicine. And the fact that I could have one appointment and have an IUD that would be in me for 5 years and actually bring me back to life. Mm-hmm. Jesus brings her back to life. Do you see the symbolism or this beautiful connection between Jairus' daughter being 12 years old and she's dead? And she has been bleeding for 12 years. It's a dual resurrection story. And perhaps, just to think about this, but perhaps it's not about the impurity of her or her being unclean, but the whole reason for blood is to give life. The whole reason why we menstruate is because we're letting an egg go and we're currently not bearing a child or actually producing life at that time of the month. And so Soskus argues that actually Jesus is bringing her back to life to be fertile again, to bear life, and in the same way raises this young girl to life as well. You see it in a whole new light. And that blood here is redeemed. It's no longer dirty or unclean or wrong or something we even need to hide. But it's a part of life and it's redeemed. I would love for you to turn in your groups and let's just talk about it a little bit. So there's two questions. How have you struggled or hemorrhaged to accept the skin that you're in? Or, and also, how has your understanding of your gender evolved over time? I in no way want to make the assumption that every person in this room, even though it's a women's retreat, identifies as a woman. Maybe some don't. Maybe there is a sliding scale, and I just am always aware of that and don't want to make that assumption. And so we intentionally are using the word gender so that you're very aware that we are not binary people. As Lacey Olympic said, we are not zeros and ones, that's computers. And so I appreciate
binaries
that. Binaries
are computers.
Yeah, binaries are computers, but I so appreciate that. So yeah, so turn to those who are near you and just unpack this or unpack this text a little bit, and then we'll come back. Ready, go. Keep these conversations going, and as we talk about sexuality and women, and there's so much wisdom in this room to continue to share, and we'd love for us to do that. We're going to sing, and then we're going to now mash up with our contemporary voices as well.
Hey!
who could read about Henrietta on the other side of your sheet?
I would love to do that.
Great, thank you.
Henrietta Locks. Mrs. Locks. Mrs. Locks. It's Locks. Lax. It is Lax. Mrs. Lax was both mother of five, native of rural Southern Virginia, resident of Turner Station in Dundalk, Maryland. Henrietta went to Johns Hopkins complaining of vaginal spotting. She was diagnosed with cervical cancer, which quickly consumed her body despite radiation treatment. Henrietta's life was cut short on October 4th, 1951. Not all of Henrietta Lacks died that day. She unknowingly left behind a piece of her that still lives today. It's called the HeLa cell. Her cells were taken and used for medical research without her consent, and for more than 20 years after her death, Henrietta's family would learn how science retrieved her cells and of her enormous contribution to medicine and human life. The birth of the HeLa cells were making its mark worldwide. After all, the HeLa cells continued to multiply daily as no other cell outside the human body, a breakthrough in cell research. With that being said, the world will never be the same due to the HeLa phenomena, which began in 1951. Since then, there have been a mass production of the cells which have traveled around the globe, even into space. Even though Henrietta's cells launched a multi-million dollar industry that sells human biological materials, the family never saw any of the profits or that Henrietta received the recognition she deserves. The HeLa cells are continually used for research. In the early 50s, the cells were used to help develop a polio vaccine, and now today the cells are used for cancer and AIDS research and theories about the cause and treatment of diseases. Henrietta, unknowingly, changed the medical and science world forever. She has been called many things: immortal, heroine of modern medicine, medical miracle, and Wonder Woman. To her family, she was and is daughter, wife, mother, and grandmother. Henrietta was a phenomenal woman during her lifetime. In Henrietta's passing, her medical contributions exhibits what a phenomenal woman she really was. She continues to enhance many lives who are unaware of her past existence. After all, she has a rich and important history and a great legacy that she had left for her family to carry. The New York Times bestseller, The Immortal Life of Henrietta Lacks, by Rebecca Skloot, takes readers on a fantastic journey into the world of Henrietta and science.
So with those you were just chatting with, or just someone really close to you, take our hemorrhaging woman, who we don't know her name, and Henrietta Lacks, who for a long time no one knew her name, connected to the HeLa cell, and talk about, compare the two. Ready? Go. Had two engaging conversations, and so is there, for the good of the collective here, is there anything that you would love to share in regards to the story of the two stories of healing from Matthew or Henrietta Lacks, or the two together? Anyone have some thoughts? Yeah, please.
I have a question for anybody else who might have read the book, because it's been a while, but I remember something about her going to the doctor without her family knowing for quite a number of years. Yeah. And then this woman that's hemorrhaging, it doesn't say who accompanied her. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So were they independent and doing this without any support?
Well, in Henrietta Lacks, it's not like she went for spotting and was diagnosed. She was six for a long, long time. Uh-huh. And lived with a lot of pain. So by the time she got treated, she was so... Mm-hmm.
And her family just... They didn't know that's where she was going. She just went by herself, right?
Yeah.
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 Both of them are oppressed stories, and oppressed women.
I think it's fair to say that menstruation is still kind of this thorn inside of females still. Not because we've created it that, but the male part of culture has made it to be almost like this, you know, not for you, but you know, you're not as good as me because I don't believe, but the fact is, we can bear children and they can't. So, you know, maybe it's born out of jealousy. I don't know. Let's say, you know, because women can do that and men can't. Mm-hmm. And so it's something they don't understand. You know?
Well, not all women can do that.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. Or sometimes you can choose to. Right. Some, not all are called, right, called to that, mm-hmm, as well. But I appreciate that. So other truths.
We were talking back here about how both women were given new life. So she stopped, Jesus healed her and she stopped hemorrhaging, stopped bleeding. And so now there's a potential that she could become fertile again and, mm-hmm, and give new life. And without knowing it, Henrietta gave new life, mm-hmm, to a lot of people, mm-hmm, after her death. There was a resurrection of sorts for her, mm-hmm, that really gave new hope and new birth to other people.
So. Thank you.
Did she have any say in being mined for herself?
No.
It's a strange story that way.
It is. And unjust. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Other connections?
Well, I appreciate the wrestling with these stories, this conversation. But we talk about our beautiful bloody mess. That I've had even colleagues, pastors, who will say about another female pastor, well, I think she's just having her period. That's why she's emotional. And I had another one recently say, I am working with two women going through menopause. Shoot me now. Oh. And I wanted to say, well, lots of things. But they're...
Okay, I will.
But there's always this undergird that happens within our culture. Mm-hmm. And I think even within women, as we continue to, as I am a pastor in church recently, I was preaching and I was passionate about something and I paused. I didn't even cry at that moment. Mm-hmm. I paused. And after the service, I had somebody come up and he was talking to me about something, and his wife came over and she said, oh, what are you guys talking about? He said, well, I'm just helping Casey, she's feeling fragile right now. And I said, oh no, I'm not. I am currently passionate and my pause does not make me weak. So I wish that that we were past all of this. I was telling Anne-Marie and Lacey, I wish that Gloria Steinem didn't have to get up just recently and speak at a march. But I think there is still lots of work to do and a reclaiming of the beautiful aspects of our bodies and our beings and to celebrate our strength and who God has made us to be. So we will continue. We'll go, Anita.
My one little piece of trying to get males today to understand what's happening is, as a school nurse, when I was teaching sex ed to fifth graders, I insisted on teaching boys and girls together.
Yes.
Because, you know, I remember the little film strip I watched, and the boys had to all go out and play.
Oh, no.
Right. Cool. Well, thank you for the conversation. We've got a few more things we're going to do as we kind of bring this together.
Holy Spirit, life giver. We recall before you this day holy women who have used the power and vulnerability you gave them to change the world for good. May we, with their example in mind, find that same power in ourselves and use our gifts to build your kingdom of justice and peace.
We recall a hemorrhaging woman who was never called by her given name, who risked shame to reach out and touch the hem of Jesus. She bowed to hopelessness, and by the boundless healing recognition of Jesus was brought back to life. Heal our bodies and that ache and bleed and hunger for healing.
We pray for her power to surrender and find wholeness even in our brokenness.
We recall Henrietta Lacks, who for too long was never spoken of by her given name. She bled not only for her children, but for generations to come. In her body and her blood, she continues to carry disease of humanity. Her story bears the pain of so many who have bled and died and cried and raged against evil and all the forces that defy God.
We pray for her power to surrender and find wholeness even in our brokenness.
And finally, we recall ourselves, fragmented, scattered, beautiful, and broken, loved and accepted just as we are.
We praise you for our messy and beautiful lives.
A song by Leonard Cohen. It's kind of a modern-day hymn of healing of our bodies. Just invite and let these words sink into you. Says,
You are precious in my eyes and honored, and I love you. So how are you in your body? Let your body be before God. How are you in your mind? Let your mind be before God. How are you in your feelings? Let your feelings be before God. For it is in God that we live and move and have our being. Take a moment to ask yourself these questions. Seeing with our body means taking note of not just our five physical senses, but also our emotions, instincts, and reactions. Looking back at the day, what did you hear, taste, touch, see, feel? How has your body responded throughout the day? Has your breathing changed at any point? Has your body tensed or loosened in response to something that was said or done? Now with the Spirit's gentle, loving assistance, take one or both hands and touch your forehead. Recall your ability to speak, your ability to hear, your ability to organize, wonder, analyze, empathize, and ponder the beautiful mess of life. Receive God's blessing. Now take your hand and touch your cheeks. Recall your laugh lines, your smile, your tears that have traced this landscape. Receive God's blessing. Now place your hand on your neck. Recall the food that you had for lunch, the breath that you're taking in now, your vocal cords that vibrate with praise and prayers. Receive God's blessing. Now place your hands on your chest. Feel your heartbeat. Imagine your arteries pulsing with blood through your veins. Receive God's blessing. Now please place your hands on your hips. Recall your movement today. Your ability to stand, sit, and turn to your neighbor. Bless your hip, if it's original or it's a replacement. Receive God's blessing. Now place your hands on your legs. Recall your steps of today. Where God has taken you. Have gratitude for your heels, for your ankles, the balls of your feet, and each and every one of your toes. Receive God's blessing.
God who brings us back to life. Jesus, who is not afraid to touch us. Holy Spirit, who speaks blessings on and for our bodies. Thank you for our blood, for our limbs, for our muscles, beautiful, broken, aging, revealing your presence in mysterious ways. You are closer than our breathing, nearer than our thinking. Thank you. Thank you. Amen.
Peace of the rolling waves, deep peace of the silent stars. Deep peace of the blowing energy, deep peace of the quiet earth.
Thanks be to God.